Good morning, everybody. So good to see you guys this morning. And let me just see who's here. Hey, we've got Denise is here, Robin, Lori. God bless you guys. I'm so glad that you're here with me. This morning, we first of all, I got to have a cup of my coffee here out of my Last Evangelist mug. You know, I talk about this quite a bit, but I love spending time in the morning with God. There's a time in my life, I don't know about you, you guys can share this, but God speaks to me most in the morning between 5 o'clock and like 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning. There's like a 2-4 hour period that it seems like the Holy Spirit is really moving. I mean, the Holy Spirit's always moving. Don't get me wrong. I'm not discrediting that. And God is always there. I'm not saying he's not. But for me, there's times that I can just feel the Spirit just so much more vibrant and so much stronger. Okay, how about you guys? Is it in the morning? Is it in the evening? Some people, it's in the evening when they go to bed. For me, it's in the morning. I have my cup of coffee. First of all, what I do is I chop up some garlic. I'm going to kind of tell you some stuff I do. And then I don't know, you may unsubscribe or something. I don't know. But I eat raw garlic in the morning. I chop it up and I put honey on it and I eat it because I think raw garlic is really good for you. It cleanses your body and does a lot of good things for you. And I always say that God is like garlic. It's good for you, but it offends people, okay, when you tell the truth. So I have my garlic, and then I fix a hot cup of black coffee, and I do it, I pour it like in a pour over type thing, and I drink it, and then I spend time in the Word, and I spend time with God, and I'm telling you, I get so much, not because of the garlic and coffee, I believe that that's an add-on, and certainly doesn't hurt, but God just speaks to me during that morning time. So does he speak to you guys too? Yep. A lot of people, you love garlic, Denisha. A lot of people God does speak to in the morning. And what happens, the devil comes along and wants to steal that time. Because I'll get people that'll tell me, hey, let's go out and have breakfast and let's do this and let's do that. Not that these people are the devil, that's not what I'm saying, but he'll use people to steal your time away from God. Do not let that happen, folks. You know, I know people that are so adamant about going to the gym and working out their body, and they will not miss a day at the gym. If they miss a day at the gym, they feel like their life has gone downhill. Let me tell you something. The time with God spiritually is a million times more important than your time at the gym, okay? It's important to keep our bodies in shape, but it's more important to stay spiritually in shape. And that's why I don't want anything or anybody messing with my time with God. And that's why when I'm staying up late at night, I got to think about this. Is it important? Because if it's not, I'm going to bed so I can get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and spend time with God, all right? So we got a lot of garlic lovers here. All right, what are we talking about? All right, there was a ship called the Titanic. It was a luxury steamship, and it sank in the early hours of April 15th, 1912. It sank off the coast of Newfoundland in the North Atlantic after it hit an iceberg. Most of you guys know about the Titanic. I don't need to tell you. This was during its maiden voyage, which means it was its first voyage. It was the one and only voyage that the Titanic would ever take. Of the 2,240 passengers, more than 1,500 lives were lost on this Titanic. And what does the Titanic have to do with the message today? And why are we together right now? Think about that. Why are you and I together? What is it we're supposed to do? What's the purpose of it? We're here together every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and we know that God speaks to us, but I want to dive deep into the purpose, into what it is God wants us to do. What specifically here now is the time, the call to action. You say, David, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for God. Yeah, well, so am I. But why? And what does that mean to be hungry for God? I mean, in the Western world, if you look, there's a church on every corner. So if there's a church on every corner, and there's thousands of denominations and tons of traditions, why in the world are we hungry for God? We should be able to be fed all the time. After all, there's churches on every corner. There's all these denominations. There's all these religious organizations. See, these millions of people that call themselves Christians, oh, they're getting fed all right. But the question is, are they getting nourished? You see, churches around the world are feeding people. But the question is, what are they feeding people? Are people being nourished? You and I are hungry. We're starved. We meet together 11 a.m. every Sunday morning, Eastern Standard Time, all over the world. And why did we do that? Because I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you because I'm starving. I need to be fed this morning, because if I go without being fed this morning, I'm going to be off the rest of the week. I need that spiritual nourishment. You know, I remember as a little boy, I'd go in the house, I'd say, Mama, Mama, I'm hungry. Oh, Mom says, oh, we've got this. No, I don't want that. Oh, Mom says, oh, we got this. No, I don't want that. And she says, well, David, you must not be hungry. I had to think about that. You see, I'm not hungry for just anything. There's something specific that I wanted, because as a kid, now I know a lot of kids want ice cream and they want that, but there was something I needed. My body was crying out for nourishment, something I wasn't getting. I was hungry. Nothing sounded right except what it is I needed. And my question this morning, are you getting fed? Are you getting the spiritual nourishment that you need to have, that your spirit man, your spirit person needs? Do you crave? Do you go deep enough? And this is where the analogy of the Titanic comes in. You see, in the church system today, much like the Titanic, there's six things going on, more than six, but I'm going to point out six things so we can draw an analogy. Folks, this is so important, and it deals with the body of Christ. I'm going to land this plane, I promise. Number one, the church system, I'm talking the system, not the God's real church, but the church system is big, and it's impersonal. The Titanic was huge. Huge, and it was impersonal. Number two, because you had several classes of people. You had the rich people, you had the middle class, and you had the poor. And that's what you have in the church system today. Oh, they don't say it, but it's there, baby. It's there. If you're not in with their clique, you ain't going to get on that stage and play the music. You're not going to get in the pulpit and say anything. You're not going to be asked to read scripture. Why? Because you are not in with the religious class. Number three, the rich were comfortable. They were dancing, drinking, having parties. Let me say it again. The rich. I'm talking about the rich in church. These people driving the SUVs going to these Six Flags Over Jesus churches. And I'm not just going to say the big churches. I'm going to say the little churches too. You know that. We talk about this. I'm talking about the apostate church system, which is dragging people to hell. And that's why this is so important. Number four, the church system today says, I'm unsinkable. They can't take me down. They can't touch me. That's what they said about the Titanic before it hit the iceberg. Number five, there's no life support. You see, on the Titanic, they assumed it would never sink. It was built not to sink. There was no way it could sink. It was built to float. Therefore, they didn't have enough lifeboats. They didn't have enough life jackets. In case something happens, there was no safety net. In the churches today, what have they done? They've ripped out the altars. They don't talk about repentance. They barely talk about the blood of Jesus. Folks, there is no lifeboat in the churches today. Satan has ripped them out. When I was a boy, the altar was a big part of going to church. I remember walking in, even as a little boy at 7 years old, I accepted Christ and I walked into the church and I was a little kid and I'd look it up and I'd see that pulpit and I'd remember that Brother Borders would be up there and he'd be preaching hellfire and brimstone. Sweat would be going everywhere. But down below his feet was a place you could kneel, that every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening, he would give an altar call, or he would say, if you'd like to come up and repent, we would have a place to go, folks. We could get on our knees, cry out to God. It was a lifeboat. It was a life jacket. But there are none in the churches today. They are sterile. They are cold. They are impotent. Because the church system has built it on a system of seeker friendly, where they've got to have people come in so they can continue to build their idols. What is the idols? The building, the programs, the nonsense. Don't get me started on these youth programs. I go into some of these youth programs in these churches today, and it is disgusting. What do? They're playing games. They're hanging out, just like kids would do on a street corner. Not all, but many of them. And I go to the youth pastor. I say, why are you letting these kids do what kids do out in the world? They're doing the same thing here in the church. And the youth pastor looks at me and says, because David, I want him to feel at home. I want him to feel safe. I say, at home? You want to bring the world into the church instead of taking the church and putting it into the world? God help you. You come out of a cemetery, not a seminary. Let me say it again. You want to take the world and put it in the church instead of taking the church and put it in the world. This is why people like your families, part of my family, your friends, they don't want to have anything to do with God. Why? Because they look at the church, this apostate system, and they go, if this is God, I'll take my chance in hell. This is why we must expose it. This is why we must talk about it, folks. So number five was no life support. There was no life jackets. There was no lifeboats on the Titanic. There are no altars. There's no repentance in the church anymore. There's no safety net. But number six, and this is perhaps the most damning, it was in a point. It is in a point of no return, folks. What does that mean? I took a ship 25 years ago from Boston to Belgium. It was a two-week trip across the Atlantic Ocean. I remember waking up early in the middle of the night. It was probably 3 o'clock in the morning. And I heard the sirens going off, and it was all kinds of chaos, and the ship was going back and forth. And I walked up to one of the crew members. I said, what's going on? They said, we're about 2 miles from an iceberg. Now, you might think 2 miles is not a long way, but 2 miles to a ship, a huge ship like I was on, like the Titanic was, that is like several feet away. And he explained to me, David, we are at a place where it takes as long for someone to come from the United States shore to rescue us as it does come from the shores of Belgium out to rescue us. We're in a zone. It's a no man's zone. It's a point of no return. And folks, this is where the church is today. They're at a point of no return. It's called lukewarm. It's a zone where the Titanic sinks. It's a zone where people go down. It's a zone where lives are lost for eternity. See, there's several classes of people. We talked about the rich and the whatever, and the poor. But you see, what happens is the poor in spirit. This is you and I. We are hungry. We hunger for God. But when you go into a church system, you cannot be poor in spirit. You must be rich in God loves me. Oh, God takes care of me. Eating and drinking. Let's talk about the food. On the Titanic, they had delicacies. That was the most important thing they bragged about on the Titanic was the food. The problem is the food tasted good, but there was no nourishment. And people were having parties and people were thinking that nothing could ever happen. And this is what's happening today. People are going into church. They're eating bad food, food that has zero content of nutrients. People are eating junk, religious food. And I did it too for years until that Friday night, I crashed on a bathroom floor because I was two personalities. I was the church going David and I was the Hollywood David. And when I crashed and burned and I literally died when I came up, when the movie making David came up with the God David, the Sunday David, and we came up together. It's called spiritual integrity, folks. That no matter where I went, I took all of me with me. But you can't do that in the church system today. You must become a different person. But why don't we eat this food? Why are you and I not interested in this food that they serve in the apostate church system? Why do we hunger for God's truth? And this is what I want to talk about this morning. You see on my shirt, it says grace. Folks, let me tell you something. If you think you've done something to be where you are right now, to hear God's word and to be able to munch on the truth, and if I think that I've done something to be able to hear God's word and hear the truth, I'm wrong. Salvation is a gift from God. It's not a reward, it's an award. Let me say that again. Salvation is not a reward. You can't do anything to earn it. It's an award that's given by God to honor us for honoring him. So we must first understand that you and I could be on that Titanic right now, except for the grace of God. So what do? We expose it, yes, but we need to go deeper. We can't just expose it. There has to be more. God said to me, David, you got to stop just the exposure. Now you've got to get into the disclosure. I said, God, what does that mean? Stop the exposure. Stop just the exposure. Get into the disclosure. And here's what he said to me. Jesus, before he went to the cross, he could have asked the Father for anything, but there in the garden, he said a prayer, and I'm going to call it a love letter to the Father. I want you to go to John 17 right now. Go to John 17. Jesus says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world. This was before he went to the cross, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them, who the disciples. Says verse 14, I have given them your word and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Folks, you are not part of this world. The world hates Jesus. The world hates you. And who is the world? Is it the atheists? Is it the prostitutes? Is it the drug dealers? Yes and no. It may not be, but I'll tell you what the world was then when Jesus walked it. I'll tell you what it is now. It was the religious system. It was the scribes and the Pharisees that were marketing God as if they were pulling a slot machine and making money off of it. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. The word is truth. Folks, we've been sanctified by the truth. You and I have been given a special blessing, a special gift. It's called truth. That's why we're here today. Not on our own. We don't deserve it. I don't know why, but I'll take it. Amen, Lori says. Amen, Denise. Hallelujah. See, Rob, Betty, good morning. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and they too may be fully sanctified. Now listen to this, folks. This is the love letter from Jesus to the Father about you. Yes, Jesus wrote about you. He had your name. He had your face. He knew your fingerprint, every hair on your head. Listen to me. Please do not disregard this or throw it away because you've heard it again. You've got to understand this is a love letter from Jesus to the Father, the God of the universe, who made you, who made me. He's talking about you right now. Listen, and he's talking about me. My prayer is not for them alone, meaning not just the disciples. That's not what my prayer is, not just for them. But I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and that's me, folks. We believe in Christ because the message of the disciples. Verse 21, that all of them may be one, that you and I may be one, all of the believers, all the body may be one, Father, just as you and I, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Folks, let me paraphrase that. He's saying, Father, just like I'm in you, you're in me, I pray that they are in us, that we are in them, that we are one. Why? Because the world, because people from the outside will look and see the truth. They will see that we are one. Then the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. And he says, may we be brought into complete unity. And folks, this is the key. It's not just to expose, it's to disclose. And what are we disclosing? Love. Love. David, are you saying compromise? No, I'm not saying compromise. I'm saying love. I'm going to get into that. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that I myself may be in them. Folks, this is love. It's love. It's love that the Father sent his only begotten Son to die for you and I. That was love. It was love when the Son looked up and he knew that he had to hang on the cross and die and rise for you and I. That was love. Was it fair to them? No. But it was love. Will people do things to you that are fair? No. But you will have love for them. You see, there are people on the Titanic right now as it's going down that are God's people. The harvest is great. The workers are few, but there is no lifeboats. The only lifeboat there is you and I. They've taken the altars out of the church. They've taken the word repent out of the church. So all that's left is you and I. We are the altars. We are the voice of repentance. The food I'm talking about is love. Love is the lifeboat. There was a man, a wealthy man at the turn of the century. He had seven children. His name was Albert Johnson III, and Albert was on his deathbed. He was dying. And he was writing a letter to his seven children. This was not an easy letter to write. As his fragile hands trembled, tears filled his eyes. And he knew he was a dying man, and he only had perhaps a few hours to live. But he poured out his heart to his children, who were all estranged, both to him and to each other. His whole family had fallen apart. He had lost relationship with each one of his seven children, and they were estranged from each other. He wrote in the letter how he had given them and left them a fortune, money, provision. This provision, this money, it provided their needs, but he realized the most important thing that he could have given, he did not give. As a father, he was so busy making the money, building his kingdom, so he could provide for his children provision of money, of things, that he forgot to give them. He was unable to give them the thing that was the most important that they were starving of, and it was called love. It was called love. And he knew that on his dying bed, and he wrote the letter saying, I'm sorry, I left you everything except the most important thing, which was love. We have loved ones that don't know the Lord. And we've tried to witness. We prayed for them. Seems like not much is happening. But this morning, God's given me something I want to share with you. You see, 1 Corinthians 12, I'm not going to read it all, but I want to paraphrase it. It talks about the different parts of the body, folks. It talks about there are many parts, and the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand can't say to the eye, and one part can't look at the other part of the body and say, I'm more important than you. Even though we have differences. And I'm not talking about people that are married to their religion. I'm not talking about Catholics that believe unless you're a Catholic, you're going to go to hell. Or Baptists that say, unless you're a Baptist, you're going to... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people lost in the church system. They're God's people, but they've been deceived so long and they've been brainwashed that they don't even know what an altar looks like anymore. They've never heard the word repentance. But God is sending you and I to disclose this to them right now. There's a door opening right now. It's happening. It's not just exposure of the religious system. It's now disclosing what needs to be done, and that disclosure is love. Bible talks about 1 Corinthians 13. I can speak in tongues. Oh, I can have gift of prophecy. I can do all these things. But if I don't have love, what do I have? I can quote scripture. I can do a broadcast every week. I can write letters. I can serve a church. I can serve food, feed the homeless. But if I don't have love, what do I have? I have nothing. The only thing that will save people from the Titanic in these last days, the Titanic of the apostate church system, is love. And that love comes from you and I. You and I is where the lifeboat comes. You and I is where the life jackets come from. You and I is where God verbalizes repentance. The altar. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. I told you about, and I'm going to say it again. I'll give you the story again about the prostitute I had on the Last Evangelist t-shirt some years ago, many years ago. And I was in a liquor store, and it was a bad part of town. And no, I wasn't buying liquor. I was getting something else. I don't know, chewing gum, whatever. Water, bottled water. I was on Hollywood Boulevard, and all of a sudden I heard this girl, "Hey, preacher." I kind of looked around, and she walked up to me, and she had on makeup. She had, you know, short skirt on, cleavage, the whole bit. She said, "You're a preacher, huh?" I looked down at my shirt, and I said, "Well, I guess, she goes, "Preacher, will you pray for me?" Right there in the store. "So will you pray for me?" I said, "Well, yeah." We walked out on the street corner or outside the store, and I said a prayer for her. It was a short prayer. I don't think it was anything much, just I wasn't quite sure. I just said, "God, I'll pray for you." I said, "God, should I ask her what I should pray for her for?" And God said, "No. She asked for prayer, you pray for her." So I prayed a blessing over her. I prayed for wisdom, prayed for power, prayed for understanding. And after I prayed for her, she was there on the street corner, and I went and stood next to her. About 5 minutes later, she looked over at me. She goes, "Why are you standing there?" You see, during this time, these guys would pull up in cars, and they'd look at her and proposition her, but she didn't go with them. She said, why are you here? Why are you standing next to me?" And God said, God told me not to just pray with you, but stay with you. In other words, just don't pray and move on. Just, David, stay there. I don't know why I was staying there, but I do know now, because she didn't get in the car with anybody that night as long as I was there. I was only there for about half hour, 45 minutes. She called me a couple of years ago. She said, you don't remember me. She goes, "I was the girl you prayed for in that liquor store that night." And I said, I remember you. She goes, "I'm going to tell you something." She goes, "It took a while, but that prayer was a turning point in my life." She said, "I'm not a prostitute anymore." She said, "I'm married and I have a baby. And I want to tell you something, preacher. It wasn't just your prayer when you prayed for me." She said, "It's when you stayed with me." She said, "That was more important than you praying with me. What was more important is you staying with me." You see, folks, I prayed for her because of my love for God, but I stayed with her because of my love for her. Let me say that again. I prayed for her because of my love for God. God told me, and I did it. But when I stayed with her, it was truly my love for her. I didn't know that then. I wish I could tell you I knew that. I didn't know that. I had not a clue. But when she called me on the phone, and she said, "The power of you staying with me showed me something that was so valuable that I had not seen in a church. It was actually someone that showed compassion for me. Someone like yourself that didn't judge me, that was willing to stand with me out on an open street corner." Folks, we can't just pray with people. We need to stay with people. We can't bring the world into the church. We need to bring our church, us, into the world. And many of us have loved ones, and we pray for the salvation of our loved ones. We don't know if you're like me and you've got a brother, sister, uncle, aunt, mother, father, who, if they were to die right now, I'm talking right now, where would they spend eternity? Where would they spend eternity? And you say, David, I pray for my family. I pray for my husband. I pray for my wife. I pray for my kids. Is God listening? Let me tell you something. God's not just listening. God's speaking right now. Right now, supernaturally, he's given you a super dose of love. And I don't know what that means for you exactly, but you do, and God knows that. It could be compassion that you didn't have before. It could be wisdom that God's given you the words to say. It could be the timing. We don't know, but it's the love. It's the only thing that will save a drowning soul is love. Love. Do I come against the apostate church system? I do. Do I expose it? I do. But God's saying now it's time to disclose what it is, the truth. I want you to sing a song with me. Love lifted me. And folks, we're praying for your family. And I know each and every one of you have loved ones that need to be prayed for because they don't know the Lord. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now sing, yeah, my, sing it. Yeah, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Oh, yeah, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Because right now, all over the world, God's speaking to you, saying, you've got family, you've got unsaved loved ones. I'm giving you now the wisdom. I'm giving you the timing. I'm giving you the words that you'll speak to those loved ones. Folks, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be loved ones. Their lives are going to be changed all over the world. God's going to use you. You are their altar. You're their avenue of repentance. God speaks through you when it comes to repentance because the church won't talk about it. The apostate church will not talk about it. Oh, my heart, to him I give. Ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live. Ever his praise I sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. And I sing, yeah, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Yeah, love lifted me. Yeah, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. You see, on the cross 2,000 years ago, the Father put his only begotten Son through hell and torment for you and I. And the Son looked up and said, Father, why are you forsaken me? Where are you, Daddy? Where are you? I know the Father cried, I know it. But you see, all that was an example of the Father's love to show you and I how we can love others. Sing the last verse with me. Souls in danger, look above. Just Jesus completely saves us, and he will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He's your savior. He wants to be. So be saved today. Yeah, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else would help, love lifted me. Yeah, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else would help, love lifted me. Love, love lifted me. There's someone depending on you right now. As the Titanic is out there in the waters, and the ship is going down, and on that Titanic are God's people. It's part of the body. And I'm believing that there's souls out there that have been assigned to you and to me. Let me say that again. I believe there are people out there on the Titanic in the church system. They've been deceived, but they belong to God. They're God's people. But only through you and I can God speak to them. You are their lifeboat. I am their lifeboat. I am their life jacket. You are their refuge through Christ. I mean, Christ is the refuge, but he's using you and I. Folks, don't give up. Do not give up. Don't be discouraged. I'm believing right now that your family, members of your family, are being saved right now, all over the world. It's happening. Matter of fact, let's go to the Lord right now. Lord, your people are here. We're hungry. Thank you for your word. Now, Lord, we're commanding a healing. In the name of Jesus, in the name of your Son, that people are being healed right now all over the world. There's a lady being healed of eye problems. Someone's having a gallbladder problem, and that's being healed right now. Thank you, Lord. Right now, we're coming against the demons of addiction, the demons of loneliness. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the power to cast these demons out. We're clearing the room. There's people being healed of alcoholism, of drug addiction, sex addiction. We thank you, Lord, for the deliverances. And Father, we're praying for our loved ones, our families, our friends that we've been praying for. We're believing right now. We're believing miracles are happening. They're hearing your voice, even if they're in church. They're hearing something they've never heard before. They're feeling something they've never felt before. They're coming to you, Lord. You said the harvest is great, the workers are few. We're here for you. Thank you for being a patient, loving God. And thank you for showing us your love by sending your son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. You know, I'm so glad you guys were here with me. If you would like to need, if you need prayer, I want you to go to Dave, call 844-806-0006 if you would like to be prayed for. If you'd like to help support the ministry, you can call that same number, 844-806-0006, or you can go to davidhebner.tv/give or text the word chosen to 91999. I want to bring Shanita in this morning to see how she's doing, see if there's any prayer requests. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I've got to plug in here. Hold it 1 second. Okay.
Well,
I can hear you now. How are you?
Great. So for the person who is needing healing in their back, I'm letting you know that we're agreeing with you and believing for that.
Amen. Healing. Amen. There's someone that's we're praying for their back. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is this a guy or a gal?
I don't know.
Okay. Praying for your back. Any other prayer requests or praise reports?
Well, we've had some praise reports come in. One from Ronald in Virginia Beach or Norfolk. Thank you, Ronald. And Edith let us know. We've been praying for her brother Ed for several weeks. And when he came home for home health care, the nurse arrived and just immediately sense within the atmosphere, Jesus abides here. And Edith says, I was so surprised and thankful for such a response. So, and this is your cue, honey, I showed him your Cup of Truth mug, which he was absolutely delighted in.
Hold it. She served him a Cup of Truth mug, the one I drank out of, the last evangelist?
Yes. Yes. And then when she flipped to the other side,
You are someone's last evangelist. Oh,
yes. She says, we had a most delightful time in the Lord. What a way to end the day. I ended up giving him your DVDs and I told him, keep them. He just loved the legalized Jesus shirt. And then the topping on the was the, my vaccine is the blood of Jesus. And my booster is Holy Spirit.
Wow. What's on the other side of the shirt? Can you flip it around?
Front side is my vaccine is blood of Jesus.
Wow. That is so cool.
On the back.
And you know, Shanita, this goes with episode 2, which we're coming out with literally the end of next week. I know I keep saying that, but folks, we're finally getting money in and people in to help us finish it. But it exposes the vax and, and there's a lot of stuff going on, big pharma and so forth. But, that sure goes along with it, but
Shanita, you've been working exceptionally hard and I just commend you. I mean, where it's come in the year that you've been editing is unbelievable. Yeah.
You know what God showed me? Thank you. But you know what God showed me is the Titanic is going down very quickly, faster than it's ever gone. And what does that mean? There are people, God's people out there that are his people, part of the body that we have to reach. You know, they've been deceived by the church system, but we need to be the ones to reach out to them. And the way you do that, not only to them, but also to people on the streets and people that, you know, don't go to church, don't know God, is you do it through love. And love comes in so many different ways for so many different people. And God will use you in the way of love the way he needs to, you see, just like me with that prostitute of staying with her. I didn't know I was going to do it, and I didn't know why I was doing it. But God may show you or someone else that you're supposed to do something else, do something for them, or say something to them, or whatever. We don't know, but the Holy Spirit knows, and the Holy Spirit guides us. So did you understand that? Did the message come through about love
and
what I was talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of other cases where we have made some major family decisions and, you know, when people would say, well, why are you doing that? And we could say, well, we actually don't know why, but we just know we're supposed to.
Yeah.
We're just kind of in blind faith obedience. But right. Later, God reveals why.
Yeah. You know, we're supposed to love our bodies. Our bodies is the temple of God. Mm-hmm. But the spiritual body is the body of Christ. You see what I'm saying? And just like we're supposed to love our bodies, we're supposed to love the body of Christ. We're not always agreeing with one another. Matter of fact, we don't. But the hand shouldn't agree with the foot. It should respect it. It can't agree with it because it doesn't understand. A hand doesn't understand what a foot does, right? Mm-hmm. I'm using an analogy. But we respect it. We honor mm-hmm. it because it's part of the whole workings. Mm-hmm. And that's why I want to start learning how to love more. Thank you, Miriam. Say, we understand you, David. Thank you. I appreciate that. Paul says, thanks, David and Shanita. Is we need to start loving without compromise. And that doesn't mm-hmm. mean the kind of love that comes from a military guy that says, hey, I love you, but you're going to do this. No, I love you doesn't matter what. Am I agreeing with what you're doing? No, I didn't agree with what that prostitute was doing. That didn't enter my mind. What entered my mind is what God told me to do. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And mm-hmm. so this is the problem with religion. They put so many stipulations on people. They don't know how to love people. And it's very hard to love a religion mm-hmm. because they're so staunch, you know? But this is what I love about this ministry, about these people, is that we all, I feel like, love mm-hmm. each other, may not always agree, but we love each other. And we're going to take care of each other and we pray for each other, right?
That makes me very grateful. Yes.
Yeah. So let's tell everybody about David Heavener TV. I know I do this every week, but we may have somebody new that's listening.
Yeah. And if you're new, let us know. We want to welcome you.
Yeah. DavidHeavener.tv. Go sign up if you haven't. If you have, let us know that you're new. And we can send you a link tomorrow night. You can go underground with us Monday night, and you can be part of a small group, members only. And we hope you can do that. Also, if you'd like to support Last Evangelist, go to lastevangelist.com. You can help us finish episode 3, which is about the AI Jesus, artificial intelligence Jesus, the new government Bible they're going to come out with. There's my book, A Story of My Life in Hollywood, Mind Control. Here is the other one, How to Use Your True Power in These Last Days. And then, of course, we have the Last Evangelist TV series on DVD. And you can also watch it on DavidHeavener.tv. And there's the End Times Investigation DVD with all my buddies on here, 8 hours of footage about everything you need to know, from Illuminati to alien demon connection to SRA to sleep paralysis. And by the way, out there, I'm believing that there are people that have been suffering with some type of sleep disorder. Mm-hmm. And within this is sleep paralysis, is also astral projection. I don't want to get into that right now, but demons are always messing with people. They're always mm-hmm. trying to mess with you spiritually. So, Shanita, before we go, I want to pray right now, because there's someone out there struggling with their sleep, and we're going to cast a demon away from them. I'm not saying there's a demon in you, but I'm saying there's demons that are around you, and we're going to now deal with this. Thank you, Lord, for loving us right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the power that's given to us. We have the authority. Demon, you demon of sleep disruption, sleep paralysis, of astral projection, you demon, you are hereby cast out from God's people. You have no authority. We cast you back into hell. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us this power and giving us this opportunity. And right now, there's someone out there that's going to sleep tonight for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. For the first time in a long time. And I'm telling you right now, when you walk in your bedroom, you're going to know it's different. And before you go to bed, you will cast any demon that's trying to get back in. You will cast them out. You will stake mm-hmm. your bedroom out. Plead the blood of Jesus around your bed, and you will sleep like a baby. Sleep like a baby. All right. Okay, Shanita, well, I appreciate you. God bless you.
Love you.
All right. Love you. Okay. That's my wife, and she's such a beautiful soul. And so are you all, Guyana and Ronald and Paul, Miriam. Thank you so much, Lori, Denise, Betty. God bless all you all. I love you guys. I appreciate you being with me every Sunday morning. I want to say this from the bottom of my heart, is that you honor, I'm honored to be with you. I am honored to be with you. I'm humble. I appreciate you letting me spend this time together. I appreciate you giving me this space, this platform, and this love that you give me. I haven't had it all my life. Matter of fact, from the church, I've got very little love, but from you, I've gotten it. Because of you, my faith has been strengthened. Because of you, my belief in God has grown because of you. Now, I believe it's because you've been praying for me, and praying for this ministry, and praying for the family. I know you have. And you donated, and that shows me you care and everything. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you what that means. What it means is the fact that you're here with me is that you show me proof of God. You see? You prove to me that there's a God beyond doubt. You say, David, I thought you're a man of faith. I thought we're all people of faith, but we need to be strengthened. And when we show love to people by being with them and praying for them, we strengthen their faith. We strengthen their belief in God. And so here I go crying again. Because of you, for the past over a year now, you've increased my faith, and you've helped me with God. You're just as much a part of my life as anybody in my life, more actually. So I just want to tell you how thankful I am for you, okay, each and every one of you, okay? God bless you. I love you. Please, I do. We take prayer requests. Email me if you want. David at davidhebner.tv, put in the subject, pray for me if you'd like. And we do pray for you. And like I said, if you'll pray for us, we'd appreciate it. We can't go on without your prayers, and we can't go on without any financial support, because we're hitting the bottom of the barrel for what we're getting ready to do. So if God lays it on your heart to become maybe a monthly financial partner, that'd be great. You can go to davidhebner.tv/give. Also, pass this around. I don't say it much. Would you pass this video around, share, and like, and all that kind of stuff? I don't say that a lot, but God told me, he says, get the word out, David. Get it out to many people as possible. And this is what we need to do. We need to get the word out to people, okay? This isn't my word. I pray this is God's word. And it's because we've come together. You've come together in truth and in spirit. We're two or more gathered in his name, okay? So you're just as much or more part of this ministry than I am. All right. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Remember, you never really lived till you found someone worth dying for, Christ Jesus. I love you, and I'll see you tomorrow night, Monday night, 7 o'clock. God bless you.